Welcome to the Mystic Mindcast. This is your host, Michelle. And let me tell you, I am quite both excited and passionate about this upcoming episode. That's something that I don't really talk about much. I refer to the background and what I grew up with in the circle of belief of Christianity and religion. Growing up and then discovering something, well, rather a lot more outside of that circle of beliefs. And that's something I don't really talk about often, but it is something I'm very passionate about. I don't mean to disrespect anybody or anyone and their beliefs. This is just what I have come to find. And I provide my understanding, insights, and opinion about that. So please enjoy, please join me, and please stay tuned. It's to my understanding that no matter what it is, people will be offended by something, and that's clearly not the point. I'm not looking to get people to believe what I believe. I mean, that's, religion does it already. My whole point in this whole thing is to get people to ask questions. Ask those hard questions to themselves. To figure out a little bit more about themselves. Not just, it's fine, whatever, believe what you believe, but ask those hard questions to get more insight on your life and whatever your spiritual walk is. That's the whole ideal and whole point behind this podcast. It's not something that, like, well, I'm holier than thou because I believe this and that. Like I said, religions do that already. People do that already. That's clearly not my objective. Welcome back. So I'm walking again. It's now 3:48 a.m. on a Sunday morning. The irony. I'd like to talk about this topic, something I don't talk about very often, but it is something of great interest and has been for many years. But let me give you a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of a brief snapshot as to where I came from. But before that, how did the topic come to be? As it has been something that's been on my mind for quite some time. It is something that I seem to have gathered more answers on over time. But how did it come to be today? As it has been something that's been on my mind, but as of right now, I have come up with enough to create a podcast. So here goes. I was talking with a friend. Actually, just yesterday, in fact. We were talking about, I don't want to put too much out there, but she was talking about how she hasn't been able to really relate to her brother. And she mentioned that her brother is quite a religious type of person. And when she mentioned that, when she was talking about it, it reminded me a lot about how I used to be. And this is where the backstory begins. I grew up going to church, being a Christian, going every Sunday and Thursday. That was my lifestyle for quite a bit of time that I can remember of my life. As a child, growing up through high school, etc. We're gonna get to what happened after high school. But for now, let's focus on the background. It's very important. I grew up in the church, Christianity, for the most part. Church I went to was interdenominational. It was, or non-denominational. It was like, I remember seeing different variants of churches, of beliefs growing up. So I remember, like, when I was in Chicago, even younger, I remember just the different dynamic and being in a more predominantly black church at that time. And then later on, moving to Indiana, going to a predominantly Irish and Polish church. That was the non-denominational, interdenominational church. And we went for years. I went for years, mom would go. Sometimes my father would go, not all the time. In this circumstance, it was not something that he really enjoyed to do. In fact, as far as I know, he hated God. I'm not here to really talk about that. I'm here to talk about my background with religion, God, and belief. And so there it was. It was like clockwork. Every week, Sunday school in the morning, church at night with my parents, Thursdays in the children's church. Actually, children's church was on Sundays, but so there was a Sunday school, and then we went to the children's church after that on Sunday mornings. Then got to go to the grown-ups church at night, as well as Thursday nights, until later on when I became middle school / high school. That was when I started going to youth group, they called it, youth church. And then things became fun. Not only we got to socialize, church calls it fellowship, but socialize with people from my classes, not everyone. Well, at the time, just kind of give you a little bit of background on the background. At the time, when I started middle school, I started going to the private school, the church. They had a private school, and so I began to go to that. And prior to that, I only seen people in Sunday school and children's church. Didn't really know their names. Didn't really make friends like that. I mean, I made a couple friends, but I digress. Anyways, certain people, not all of them, but some people from class would also be at the youth group, the youth church. And it was cool because it was almost like a continuation of high school. As in, even if we were doing praise and worship or participating in the sermon and getting what the, I don't want to call him preacher, but I feel like preacher is really a strong word. But the speaker, the facilitator, not so much instructor, but words are important. I don't want to call him preacher, but that's what he did. He would preach the word of God. And this is a Christian Bible that I'm referring to. So anyways,
I started to do that. And that became another reason to leave home, another reason to get out of the house. Because at this time, my father was going down this dark spiral. That's a story for a different day. But I think it's important to bring up because all of these things tell a bit of my story and why I don't think and believe the way most people do about God and religion. So, going back, I would do this and it was fun. I started as an attendee, and then eventually when we got to upper classes of high school, I started participating, doing behind the scenes. In this case, it was audio. Sometimes it was visual, sometimes it was lighting. Those things that I grew attached to doing because it was something outside of the norm. Otherwise, it was like, oh, we got to go to the grown-up church. We always call it that, the grown-up church, because that was where everybody went. That's where the normal church, quote-unquote normal church, was, where all the adults were. They'd wear their suits or whatever, nice dresses. It was just like very, it was like a typical church, like you would dress up. And I don't have any ill will, or what I mean to say is I don't have any regrets doing that, because it was fun. And for a season, it was good. I'm referring to Bible text. For a season, it was good. Things were good. Like clockwork, every Thursday. I would prefer to go to the group church because it was more relatable. People were my age, and we would go to retreats and all these different things. It was fun. And it was fun doing that and learning about God and Christianity. It wasn't until later in high school, between my junior and senior year, is when things start to change. I mentioned before about my father and how he was taking a dark spiral. Most people of the faith would say, well, this is a trial of tribulation. Yeah, it was definitely a trial of tribulation. And it was also around this time where I started to delve and dive more into what some would say is called secularism. Music, for instance, movies. I started working in the theater and watching various movies and such. Most people probably wouldn't watch those movies. Most people probably wouldn't listen to music I started listening to. But even, this is prior to, I would say this is prior to like upperclassmen high school, but I started in high school, all these things. I started having an interest in these sorts of things. Yeah, I would still listen to Christian music, but not in the contemporary sense. There were some where it was good, but a lot of it was just compared to other things that seemed uninteresting to me. It was boring. It was kind of like praise and worship. Nothing against praise and worship, but it was like, it had that tone. I don't know. Hard to describe it. But it was then that my interest in music, outside of the realm of church and Christianity, grew and I wanted more. Not that I felt that I was doing anything wrong. I never believed that I was doing anything wrong. But other people, if they knew, they would. They would say that. And I guess, for the most part, Mom wasn't against it. It wasn't like we had a sit down, it's like, I'm gonna teach you about, you know, how, you know, not listen to this kind of music. It was like, it was an outlet for me. Of all the various things that were going on in the house at that time, it was one of the places I can escape. Because church, while it was one of those places I could escape, it was not the most favorable, if that makes any sense. Basically, group church was great, Sunday church was eh, but then I started helping out children's church on Sunday mornings, and then Sunday mornings became like a summer thing. It was like a week we would do these type of events called camp meetings. And I would do the same thing when I did for youth church. I would help out with audio, lighting, sound. Oh yeah, audio and sound is the same thing. But I would do those things and I loved it. I love to do those things. And I love to do like these different outreaches for kids and stuff. We'd go to inner city places. And it was good. It was good for a season. I don't regret doing any of those things. And I go back and I reach for it every time I look back, and I did a good thing. It was great. But as some would say, not all good things will last forever. And as things in the house got a little worse for wear, I began to find other ways to get out of the house. I would go with my friend and one of my good friends. We still talk to this day. We'd go drinking, among other things. But we had a good time doing that. Whenever I could find some way out of the house, I would. Because I didn't really like being there. That's why I brought it up, because it actually is very important in the development of my story. And why I bring this up. Going back to my friend, as we were talking about how she doesn't really relate with her brother, it reminded me, and I told her this, it reminded me how I used to be when I was growing up in the church. And I told her, you know, If I knew myself back then, we wouldn't get along. Because when I was growing up, or rather, I guess you could say when I was at my peak in the Christian belief. Well, that's kind of a weird way to say it, right? But when I was at my... Let's just say, when I was at my peak in my religious self, I was judgmental. We were taught that various things were evil and that we shouldn't delve and dive into those things, right? Video games, for example, not all of them, but Resident Evil. A prime example of a game whereas in most people in this faith looked at the game didn't really read into the game, didn't know what the game was about, but it's like, oh, Resident Evil must be an evil game. Steer clear of that. One example of many. That's where I came from. I would literally, so there was another outreach. Camp Reaper, a place I used to go and love this place. I mean, we would go Wednesday nights. Now, I told you I would find a way to get out of the house. I'd find a way to socialize with other people. And this was yet another way. Camp Reaper was that, pretty much a camp. They, well, outside of summer camp, they had these outreaches that would go on throughout the year. It was the most amazing thing they ever came up with. This guy, who was one of the counselors during summer camp, his name's Terry Lang. One of the coolest motherfuckers I've ever met. I would say he's one of my most notable father figures at that time. Thinking back on it, I didn't think like, oh, well, he's like a better than my father kind of thing. That was not my thought process, but it was like, when I think back on these instances and the circumstances that I was going through at the time, he was the better option. He was like one of those guys. And he led this outreach. And we would do it every Wednesday. Let me go back for a second. It wasn't every Wednesday that we did. Actually, it was every Friday. So we'd have these, basically, they were like Bible studies. Not so much praise and worship, but we would have, you know, these moments of worship and then go through the Bible study portion. And we have like food, snacks, whatever. The camp was just full of food because they had like leftover food during summer camp. So they didn't eat it all. And whatever they had left, they would utilize for these Bible studies. The most amazing thing ever, I thought, as I was growing up, middle school to high school, these were awesome. They're very awesome programs that they had built. And this guy was in charge of it. On Wednesdays, because I mentioned I would do the youth church at my, we'll call it my primary church. So Wednesdays, what I would start to do is go to another church. And we went to, I can't remember the name. It was like Temple or something Temple. Anyways, it was a different church, a slightly different atmosphere. And in this church, we would do like the Bible study portion or whatever. We would talk. It was kind of like a class, almost like a class setting. And then we would join the rest of the church afterwards. It was different than my primary church, where the group church, or not the group church, but the youth church portion of it was the church. That was Thursday. We didn't go to the big people's church, or the big church, we call it, quote unquote, big church. But Wednesdays we would. But the atmosphere was a little bit more casual, from what I recall. And I actually enjoy going to that church, if anything. And same guy hit it up, Terry Lang. He would take out 2 15-passenger vans, pick people up from the houses, and we would do this every Wednesday for a while. And again, at this time, I was at a religious peak. But I was also young. I wouldn't say it's hard to explain, But for a lot of people that are outside of this belief, it would be rather rude of me. But I was encouraged. I was not discouraged from my actions. And I suppose if I had continued along that road, along that path, I would be considered perhaps a zealot. But I did not. I did not continue along that path. The season, well, it was good while it lasted. I learned a great deal about Christianity, the church, and about myself, the people that surrounded me. Nothing against the people that were there that surrounded me. In fact, I made some good friends, and I still talk to a lot of these friends to this day. But most of these friends that I have aren't as religious as they once were either. We were all in the same boat in a religious sort of way. What went wrong? The answer is nothing went wrong. But if we're going to talk about a story, I have to tell the whole story. In high school is when things started to change. Of course, people's hormones are raging. I'm still going to the private school, so I went to the graduation. And we started getting other people in the classes and stuff from the outside. They were being taken out of public schools. Also, my mom took me out when I was in middle school. Like, I spent like a good 3 weeks to a month going to a public middle school before being taken out. It was a culture shock. I mean, the school had a Bible class, which was different. I mean, it was definitely different. We would wear uniforms, and then one of the classes happened to be Bible class. And we would learn just different things in Bible class and write these small essays or whatever, like any other class. That was like the religious class, because it was a private Christian school of my primary church. It wasn't until late high school where things started to change. And I keep saying that word because this is where I wouldn't say things changed for the worst. I would say things changed, well, overall things changed for the better. When I refer to enlightenment, I wouldn't know for years after that point that I would learn a little bit more outside of it. I'll give you an example. So we had a retreat once, and it was like probably the last retreat that I would have done in my high school years. I went to this place. It was dope. A few of my classmates or people I knew, even my crush, ended up going. I can't say the name of my crush because she might actually listen to this podcast. Anyway, as it turns out, my crush had a boyfriend at the time, and well, nothing against the boyfriend, nothing against my crush, but to give you just a brief story about this whole thing, it sounds a little like petty, but it's part of a bigger picture. So, for instance, in this circumstance, we were supposed to all behave like little boys and girls and stay in our cabins overnight, right? So first night, Friday night, after it got late, there was a group, small group of people decided to go out. And this was, it was fun. It was the fun part. We were sneaking out of the cabins and who knows what happened, but I mean, I was just sneaking out with other people. I didn't have a like girlfriend or anything, so that didn't, that what you were thinking about didn't happen. But I recall my crush and her boyfriend at the time were also there and they snuck out. I don't recall, I don't know what happened. But they ran off, I lost them, and anyways, it was a, just a random fun thing to do. Was that wrong? Were we wrong for that? It's a question I'm gonna ask again later. Were we wrong for that? Were they wrong for that? Depending on the people, depending on the person you ask, they would say, yes, you're wrong for that. And I gotta wonder to myself, why? But again, I'll ask the question later. Various things I realized outside of this event, this very small event, this is just part of a much bigger thing for me. It was the first of many things and the first of many realizations that things were not as they seemed. We were taught something. We were told this was wrong. This was not good. But what was wrong with what we did? We were kids. We were going out and doing kid things. It's not like we're, I don't know, maybe they had sex. I have no idea, but it doesn't matter. Right? Later on, and there's, I don't know what the sequence of events were, I don't recall, but we'll just say a different time. There was this pastor that came, and I can't remember his name, but I believe his last name was Brown. Anyways, he would come, he came twice actually to our church, and two different times he was there for at least about a week. And during this week, basically class was basically canceled, or we would go to the quote unquote big church and join like other adults throughout the week. It was like a daytime church kind of deal. So I can recall that this particular pastor was gifted. He was gifted, and what they refer to as a spirit of laughter. And so when he would pray, people would like start bursting out laughing. It was the most, like weirdest thing. But at the same time, it was like, this is cool, you know? But the thing is, when I look back on those things, the thing that I realized was that whatever was happening to the other people, I don't know if it's just because I was sitting with my classmates and we just didn't understand and other people got it, but for some reason we didn't, well, I personally didn't laugh. I mean, I did, but I didn't feel like it was something that was just like, it came on to me. But again, I think like most things, if you don't really truly understand it, then you're quick to repel it. And perhaps that's what I did. I repelled the thing that I didn't understand. Same thing when you have people, pastors, lay hands on you and you fall back. This happened during the same time. Around the same time, it wasn't the first. It wasn't like something that was a rare occasion, but this would happen nearly every service. And I don't recall ever being like pushed back. Yes, I fail. I would fall because I just believed that was the thing to do. Just accept it and fall back. Other people would be pushed back in some way, shape, or form. Now, I do believe in spirituality. I do believe in certain powers. So, like I said, at the time, if I didn't understand it, perhaps I didn't understand it enough to accept it. I get that part. But yet again, it was another thing, another something to realize that maybe this isn't for me, you know? Not that I was being judged. I mean, yes, I was being judged. There were people that were also hypocritical. You'd see them doing something and then praising God and then doing something, kind of referring back to the retreat. But I question it, like, well, I look at it like in my present self, I don't really see anything wrong with that. But then it was like, when I was there at that time, I thought it was just like, wow, you know, like, it was me that was the issue. It was me that was the problem because I believed that what they were doing was wrong. Because I was jealous, one. I don't know what they did. It doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that I thought a certain way. I was judging in a way. I didn't realize at the time, but that was not just the first time. There are many situations like that where I would think back and like, damn, you know, I was a fucking asshole. Well, not so much an asshole. I was a different person. I grew up in a certain belief, and I would try to force that belief on other people. That was my problem. Apparently, I wasn't that good at it, but again, I was not discouraged from that type of behavior. If anything, I was encouraged. And so these little things happened, and then I began to learn a little bit more about what it was that I was taught, that I was institutionalized in this realm, in this circle of belief system. Later on, I had a family member, I'm not going to mention their name, who it was. I had a family member that was injured. And if any family member was listening, they would know exactly who that person was. They were injured. This person would go to church all the time. And they wholeheartedly believed in the Word of God, etc. But they were injured. They were injured at a time that I was away. I wasn't even in the same state. I was gone. I was going to school. I was going to a trade school in Florida at the time. And I had learned that this family member was injured. They were doing this play. And as you can imagine, when I first heard about it, I was really upset. I was angry. I was like, how could God let this happen? That was my thought. How could this be? we've, you know, kind of gone through this whole thing. Finally, I'm out of the house. I'm going to school, and then this happens. It's just like, this happens to someone that's really close to me. Not just like some, not just random person. A family member, as I said. I became upset. Unlike my father, though, I didn't blame God. In fact, I took a different path. I started to believe more outside of this realm and circle that things weren't as they seemed. Things were not what I was taught. And I believed that, for the longest time, I believed that, you know, God did this, did that, control this, control that, kind of thing. And then I learned eventually that perhaps it's not God that does and doesn't. It's not Satan that does or doesn't. I can't give you all the answers because I don't really know all the answers. What I can tell you is that what I have come to understand and realize is that for the most part, things are not what they taught me. You know what I'm saying? That's why I stepped away. I stepped out of it because I was like, if I ask a question, I ask people like, well, what about everybody else? Why is it that we're the only ones that are correct? Why is it that we're the only ones that are right? And everybody else is wrong. So that means everybody else is going to hell. That doesn't seem right to me. As someone that's thinking outside of the box, because a lot of people in this circle does not think outside the box. Nothing against them. Like I said, very nice people for the most part, but some can be very judgmental, hypocritical, etc. And for the most part, I just feel like they're wrong. If I'm to believe something and to believe that, well, I guess they're going to hell because they don't believe what I believe, that doesn't seem fair to me. Or I would say no, that doesn't seem fair to them. Especially if they've never heard of Christianity. And then there's this some kind of clause that says, well, it's just a general good and evil, right? Okay. Let me entertain that idea for a second, because I'm actually going to go back to that general good and evil. So why is it that because I grew up as a Christian, I'm going to refer to it as a Christian text, a Christian Bible. Why is it that we're the right ones or they're the right ones? Everybody else is wrong. How was that possible? But then if you go to another religion, they're the right ones. If you jump to another one, they're the right ones. To see the thing is and realize is that everything up to this point, religion-wise, thought-wise, is man-made. You could say, or they can say that, well, you know, this was ordained by God, and we had Moses come up with the Ten Commandments, etc., etc., but it still was created by a man, was it not? And so when I dove deeper and deeper into the history of these beliefs, these schools of thought, I begin to realize more and more of where I didn't want to be a part of it. At least not in the sense that I am a religious person. That's what I mean. Like, the principle is there. I believe in the principles, my friend mentioned. I believe in the principles of the belief, right? I believe in the principles. I don't necessarily believe in the religious part of it. At least not so much anymore. And not in the way that I had originally learned it, because there is a lot to unpack. In my personal case, it's a very more personal thing to me, is how I started to, instead of being on the inside looking in, now I'm on the outside looking in. And it has, over time, it has gotten more wacky, if I can say that, because if I look at certain programs that I used to look at, and I'm looking at it now, like, this is some wacky shit. Like, if you listen to some of the things, like, some, let's say, talk show hosts that are in the circle, there are some wacky things. And I thought Fox News was wacky. This shit is wacky. Like, this is stuff I grew up on this stuff. Not all of it. But I don't want to say names, but there's certain programs that I used to watch. And I look at it now, I'm like, that is wacky. The stuff that they're saying is crazy, wacky. And it further reinforces the fact that what I thought isn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, the more and more I kept going, the history, you go back to the Crusades and all this stuff, and like how Christianity was used as a tool by many to conquer their enemies, because they were like, well, you can't do anything about it, so it must be that God is on our side, because we have the guns and you do not. Again, another reinforcing thing that was like, I don't know if I want to be a part of this, at least not in the way that I grew up. And I kept being enlightened by these things. I'd go to college and learn this history behind it. Among other things, it wasn't just college. I took the time to study these things outside of it. And if the more you study about something, the more I was really interested. I was really wanting to know why it is. I was trying to find answers. Why it is that they're right. They're the correct ones. Why is everybody else wrong? I could not find a solid answer. I never found an answer. And I realized that I finally realized the truth, or a truth, that there are many truths. And there's also many fallacies within various religions and beliefs and stuff like that, right? There's various truths. Because I think, for the most part, and I'm going to start a new segment here shortly, but I'm going to give you just basically what I have come up with. But everything kind of led me up to this point, right? And it's the reason why I don't believe what most people believe about God or religion. But I mean, it's a whole part of my process, a whole part of where I got to this point, is because I was deeply ingrained in a certain part of what I believed for a while, for a long time. And there's a lot to unpack, but it's because that what I have come to find out as an adult is that things are not what they seem in real life. If you grow up and you learn something, they tell you, well, this is this and this and that, and you grow up and you are enlightened by something else as to that belief, of course I was conflicted. I was like, this is not what I learned, but okay, let's see where this goes, kind of thought process, right? I was like, I was hesitant. There was this resistance, of course. But the more and more that I saw that things were not what they seemed, and there's a lot of examples. My family member being hurt, being injured, is another example of that. Things like these certain events, like school shootings and people getting hurt and hurricanes and stuff. And then other people having the audacity to say that, well, I guess those people were sinful. They must have deserved it, kind of thing. Like, what in the world? Like, what in somebody's mind would say that? Like, so does it matter if those people were hurt or they lost their homes, they lost everything? Because, like, even if that were the case, you see the anger. I'm very compassionate about it because I don't understand how somebody can believe something and be just as judgmental because that's how they learned. You know, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I can't. I can never do it. That's why I was like, you know what? I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be this. I'm for the principles. I respect the principles, like not killing people or not stealing from somebody, treating people with respect, treating people how I would want to be treated. Those very simple things are the things that I have embraced about what I learned. Everything else, I feel like it's fluff. I feel like, I mean, it's more than just me feeling it, but also knowing it. When you learn, and the more I learned about these things, the more I learned that man had a hand in designing some of these beliefs. It wasn't just like, I'll give it a prime example, the Catholic Church. The reasoning why the priests aren't allowed to marry women, right? That was a man-made belief. They created that. But yet, these are all different parts of Christianity, right? Catholicism, Protestantism, right? Lutheranism. They're all the same, but different. Being a Baptist, right? These are all under the same umbrella of Christianity, right? Why are they all different? But they all have the same God, right? This is what I have come to understand. This, I just had an epiphany. Literally last week, it came to me. This is what I've come. This is what I've come up with. You ready for this? God, we'll just say God is God, right? For some people, God is energy. God is a frequency. It's a source, a life source in the universe. The universe, there's different names for what God actually is, right? The creator. Whatever it is the basic thing, that the reason why we're here. It's the only thing that I believe everyone can agree on, right? Is that there's just one thing or multiple things that are enormous that we ourselves cannot comprehend alone. That's the one thing that we can get behind, right? Let me give you a very simple, as a rooster, let me give you a simple example that I've come up with, a simple analogy of what God is. I can best describe it as water. Water is the easiest thing that we can all relate to, and thus the easiest thing that I can make an analogy about God in this example. Water, in its very basic state, is water. It's liquid, it's not frozen, it's not hot, it's water. It's free flowing. That's water. It's very simple to think about. Something we drink every day. I hope you drink every day. Water. That's the very basic principle we can get behind, right? Throughout the centuries, there have been a number of different religions, a number of different thoughts about what God was, is, etc. For ancient Egyptians, it was Ra, the sun god. But there's a lot of different gods in the ancient Egyptian beliefs, right? But that's a good example, right? Because in Christianity, it's God / Jesus. In Islam, it's Allah. Again, God. Judaism, God again. These three different religions, they have basically the same God. The only difference, well, there's a lot of differences, but the main differences is what they think and say about Jesus, right? From my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Jewish teachings of the Torah, the beginning of the Bible, basically, Jesus is mentioned, but he's not like the Savior. Ironically, he's not the Savior of the Jewish people in that teaching. In the Christian text, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he just so happens to be Jewish. The irony there. In Islam, Jesus, I think, was mentioned, but again, he's not the Savior of humanity in that belief. But I find it very perplexing that there's three main religions and schools of thoughts that refer to Jesus in one way or shape or form, but they're all referred to him differently. Like, he's not the same, but yet, how is that possible? Going outside of these three religions, there's Buddhism, where Buddha is technically, he's not a god in this religion or belief, but he is like, I don't know exactly. I'm not gonna make an opinion on it because I don't know much about it, but we'll just say Buddhism has Buddha. There's a number of different religions, beliefs, and what we can all kind of get behind is that there is some sort of deity, whether that be God, Ra, energy, whatever it may be, we can get behind this. Going back to my analogy of water, water is a very simple thing. From what I gather, these various beliefs, deities, etc., are different forms, or maybe not even different forms of water, but they can be different forms of water. But the way that I kind of equate them to be is that they're different brands of water, right? Dasani, Aquafina, etc., right? Voss, even, it's still water. It's just a different brand of water. A different brand of God, as it were. And in some instances, there's even Kool-Aid. That's not really a pun, but in there is that belief, you know, and the people drink the Kool-Aid and all that. But anyways, that was a cult. Like, but then again, what makes a cult any different than an actual religion? Other than the fact that it's not readily accepted by society. That's the main difference between a cult and religion. If you ask me, and just me, that makes a difference. So the way I see it, there's a plane, look at that. The way I see it, there are a lot of different beliefs because mankind created these constructs of beliefs. Now, whether God exists or not, I have no idea. I lean towards the fact that there is some all-powerful being, whether that be pure energy or a being of some sort. I have no idea. But what religion and science can both get behind is that there is some force of energy that created everything. That is what we can get behind. So we all believe in water, right? It's just a different flavors of water. We may not can get behind all the different flavors of water or brands of water, or if there's even soda that's made of water. There's all sorts of things that are made of water or has water in it. And I think if we enlighten ourselves a little bit, we can understand that there are different beliefs, that we don't have to be like, oh, well, you're wrong because you believe in this, or you're wrong because you drink that water, and I drink this water because I'm right because I drink this water. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what's happening, and why we can't agree on it, because we're like, if you think about it in such a way, then now we're pointing our fingers at somebody else. We're saying, no, you're wrong because you drink that water. You're wrong because you drink that water. You see what I'm saying? I broke it down this simple because this is the way I understand it. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that there are different brands of water that are basically created by us. I don't know if that's entirely the case, but I believe for the most part it is. And it explains a lot, because if you look at certain things that are created, in this example in the Bible, it's very specific. I mean, when I think of God, I don't think God would be like that ambiguous, you know, but I don't think God would be like that specific either. Which makes it sound like mankind, we created pretty much what God is, and perhaps it's the best way that we can understand what God is, because that's all we got. We're here on this planet, and we really don't have a clue what God is. We have different variants. We have different thoughts, different religions, different beliefs about what we think God is. But I don't really think we know. I believe some people know more than others, but that doesn't give people the justification and the right to be like, well, you're wrong, I'm right. I don't buy that. So I guess you could say that I subscribe to not so much the basic premise of what water is, because water in itself is pretty basic, right? It's the most basic you can get. So it's not like I take from just that, but I look at various beliefs, I look at various thoughts, and then I take the principles that I've learned and I just apply it to my life. And I feel like that's enough. I feel like that's the proper balance for me. So, while some say I'm going to pray about something, I'm going to meditate about something. I don't think there's a difference. I think it's just the words are different, but they're essentially the same. Manifesting affirmations, these are all like the same things we're, you know, in the Christian faith. It's like prayer and same thing. Manifestation is something that exists in that belief. I don't see them as different things, because I've grown to know that they are pretty much the same. And I think more so that if there's this, I guess for the most part, I believe that there's energy. There's different energies that exist, and that these different energies that we ourselves emanate are also things that can be attracted to us. And if that's the case, then in the simplest form is that quote-unquote good things and quote-unquote bad things will happen to us. Doesn't mean it's always perfect. There's also like different laws, like the law of attraction, law of balance. There's different things. There's a lot. I'm learning a lot. I'm still learning a lot. I'm learning about quantum jumping, manifesting, meditation, that sort of thing. Outside of what I learned and I apply, I have been applying, and I'm having some really interesting results. And that's all I'll say. But yeah, I would say many years, many hours of learning and just seeing how the world operates. That's more than enough to say that, you know, learning inside one religion or belief is not enough. I'm not saying you have to learn them all. What I'm saying is that for me to open up my eyes a little bit more, I learn about outside of it. I learned about the real world. And yeah, sometimes you gotta get your hands dirty and to learn about yourself. I mean, not like kill somebody, obviously, but what I mean by get your hands dirty is like a lot of people, they see themselves as like, well, if I don't sin or whatever, then I'm good. But what is sin? You know, like, what is that? Who came up with that? Who created sin? You know, depends on who you ask. It really depends. But like, what is it? And is it all the same? Is it all like the same level of sin? Like if say I swear, which I've done a few times already in this podcast, if I swear, is that bad? I think it's a really good question. I don't think it's bad. I'm not using it in a negative light. Now, one could argue that my good friend actually, she asked, or she had a friend, or, oh no, it was her brother. Her brother was like, well, would you say these things in front of God? Like, I mean, if God is everywhere, then I've already said it. But if, and not to say that's a respectable thing and justifiable, but if I'm to believe that, right? And she came up with a good example. She was like, well, if you're like in the presence of a teacher or something like that, like, would you swear around this teacher? Well, the answer is no, unless the teacher didn't mind. Because I've had teachers, like, they were like that. They didn't really mind swearing so much. It's like, keep it at a minimum, because it's like, it's a part of life. It's a part of, like, everyday things. So, again, it depends on the person, the teacher. And the thing is God so petty that using certain words around God would piss God off? I think that's the better question. Is God petty to be pissed off by certain words? Because if I'm thinking about this correctly, and again, it goes back to these man-made elements, right? If I'm thinking about this right, this goes back to man-made things. Why are these bad words? Who said they were bad words? Did God say they were bad words? Are they bad words? I believe in energy. I believe there are negative energy and I believe in positive energy. Positive vibes, negative vibes. These are all interchangeably the same thing. If you use different words in a negative way, that would be deemed negative. If you use words in a positive way, I would deem to be positive. So the real question is when we use these words, is it negative or is it positive? I think that's the better way to think about it. It's not as if, it's not saying these words, it's not so much the words, right? It's not so much the words that we use, but it's what we think behind the words that we use, right? I think that's the better way to think about it. So if I say the word fuck, what does that mean? Well, it means nothing. It means nothing until I tie it to something. Do I say, well, the context, what am I using the word for? I believe that's a better way to think about it. Not necessarily using the words, but how we use the words and the thought process behind the words. I think that's better. If I'm thinking about this correctly, because again, why are these bad words? Who said they were bad? Would God say they were bad? Or man say they were bad? I think man is more specific about words. Like, oh, that's bad because, you know, like, people use that for bad stuff. Like, well, really? Is that petty? Is nudity bad? I mean, that's kind of our basic self. Like, we're naked under our clothes. But I digress. I don't want to drag this out anymore, but I think the most important part is that I wanted to finally share that this is where I came from. This is what I believe. This is what I believe now. And going forward, I believe that
I'm on a good path. I don't believe that I'm making a wrong choice because I feel good about this. And I don't know, like, I guess you could say in some way, shape or form, that I'm drinking the water, that I'm applying these principles that I have learned, and I'm applying them to my life, and, you know, treating people how I want to be treated, and just the basics, right? Just basic principles. I don't see anything wrong with that. What I do see that's wrong is that when people think they believe they're holier than everybody else, that they start to point the finger and they start to judge people. It's a simple mistake. Not justifiable by any means, but it's a simple mistake. I used to make that mistake. I grew up out of it. And I learned quickly that that's an imbalance. That's an imbalance of a belief. Now, whatever you believe, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim or a Jew or whatever, we all share this planet and we all have a basic understanding of what God could be. We don't know for sure, but these different beliefs that we have come to know is that there is something. And it doesn't give anybody a right to be like, well, you're wrong because I'm right. That's not right. And that's not fair. I don't think God would do that. It just doesn't make any sense. Would God be so specific, like, well, I'm going to save these people because of this? Okay, well, what about everybody else? What about people that don't know about Christianity? Or Judaism? I mean, you gotta be Jew to be, like, Jewish. Like, that further doesn't make any sense. So you have to be a race of people to even be in the club. You see, the things I'm saying, that a lot of people probably wouldn't understand this stuff at face value until you, like, you ask the hard questions. You'd be like, okay, well, I can understand a Jewish person believing that. And a Christian person believing something else. And then a Muslim person believing something else. Maybe because, well, they're Jewish, I'm not. You know, I'm more of like Egyptian or something, for example. Or I grew up, you know, in the Middle East. That isn't Israel, so maybe, because I'm not in that club, I'm not Jewish, so I can't be in that club. Does that make any sense to anybody? Because it makes perfect sense to me. And this is something else I can unpack later, but simply being a certain race and being in this quote-unquote club and being a part of that belief, that seems a bit off to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that seems very specific. That's definitely a man-made thing. People are going to fight me on this. I don't care. Okay? This is what I believe. You can believe whatever you want, and I'll respect it. Probably won't respect everything people believe, but I respect, for the most part, the basic premise of why people believe the way they do. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, religion gets people through the day. A lot of people through the day. I don't respect the fact that people in power use religion to control people. I don't respect that part. And that's something that's been happening for centuries. I don't respect it. I don't encourage that. I don't promote that. But
You can see that happening to this day. And that's wrong. That's extremely wrong. The prime example is that, look at a lot of poor people on the planet and gauge what they believe versus, say, what billionaires believe. What is wrong with that? What does that tell you? What does that tell you about life? What does that tell you about what you've learned? There is more to it. There is more to life than what they have told us, what they have taught us. We learned this. We were institutionalized. We learned it from someone. They learned it from someone else. And that someone else learned it from someone before them. And it's just been passed down. Generation after generation after generation. If I am to believe that God ordained Bill Gates to do whatever, and there's a lot of poor people on the planet that don't have anything at all, but they wholeheartedly believe in this God that, and that in their brand of water that they're sharing to people, am I to believe that that's right? Because God ordained it, right? That's wrong. That's not right. That's some guy saying that. That's some man saying that. Well, because they have $1 billion. I'm not talking about Bill Gates. I use him as an example, but he didn't say that. I use him as an example of many examples because there are people that believe that. There are people that believe that, well, I'm a billionaire because God ordained it and I can do what I want. You see the danger in that? A different story, a different podcast is that I could say that, you know, I would do a podcast about like how that thought is dangerous. How believing that God let these atrocities happen was ordained, that's dangerous. But anyway, I digress. But I just wanted to go over that, my background, and then what I believe now to this day. And I didn't want to, like, I don't want to focus too much on the negative, but this is something I have become very passionate about, because when people come up to me and ask me a question, like, oh, do you go to church, blah, 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 I was like, well, what does it matter? This is what I'm asking myself, like, what does it matter? I have stepped away from church for a reason. I've stepped out of that religion for a reason. Nothing against the people, nothing against the religion itself, but I don't think like that anymore. It's something that, as my friend would put it, I respect the principles. That's something I can wrap my head around, and that's about it. I know there's a lot of people that aren't going to agree with me, and that's fine. I'm not here to change people's minds. I'm here to make people think. I'm here to make people see a bigger picture, and it's up to them to make the decision whether or not they want to believe in one school of thought versus another. It's not me to be like, well, you gotta learn my way. You gotta do it my way. No, absolutely not. You don't have to do anything. In fact, you could take the blue pill for all I care. But seemingly, I have taken the red pill and I have accepted that fact. And I accepted the fact that there is no going back. Unless I find something that tells me otherwise. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that would be. I guess it would be like something that's just totally like just, but that could be anything. Any belief, any school of thought, religion could show you that. Because if you believe that, then that's where your energy is going to come from. Your thought process is going to come from that inside that bubble, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah. I don't believe I'm wrong. What I do believe is that the hundreds and thousands of beliefs and religions, they all have something in common. That between all of them, there is something that they can agree on. But because we're human, we all have a different belief on whatever that is. Even just ourselves as individuals, we believe something slightly off, slightly different than what the core belief is. Would you agree? So let me get off of here, because I know I've taken a while, but this is a very important topic to me, and like I said, I know people aren't going to agree with me, and I'm okay with that. I encourage to have some sort of conversation. I love to have a good conversation. Like when I had the conversation, when I asked the question about like, well, what about everybody else? And I had this chat with this guy who was a Christian guy, would go to church and everything like that. Prior to me, I think it was either before I went to Australia or after, but I asked this question and I didn't get an answer. At least not an answer that I accepted. Right? I didn't accept the answer because it wasn't a full answer. It was a very specific answer. It was an answer that a man would say. Not something that God would say, but something that a man would say. And that's why I didn't accept it. I was like, well, okay. And there's no way I could get him to, like, there's nothing I can say that would, for certain people, it's like talking to a wall. There's nothing you can say that's gonna, like, give him, like, an oh moment, like, oh. Because, again, I grew up out of this whole thing. I know how it is. I know what it is to be on the other side. I know if somebody challenged me, I'd be like, no, I'd be defensive. And it's easy to be defensive because now it's like, well, you feel like somebody's attacking your whole belief. And trust me, I have attacked my own. I've conflicted myself, and I wondered, like, am I doing the right thing? For years, I learned about something, and then now everything has changed. But it wasn't like a sudden change. It was a gradual change. Because I realized that things aren't what they seemed. Surely if certain atrocities like 9/11 and the whole 20 years of war in Iraq happened and all that stuff happened, where was God? Or was it that these atrocities done by the military of the United States, was that all God ordained? I won't accept that. I can't accept that. Not while there are money hungry individuals that support this military complex. This military industrial complex of a machine, of greed, of control, of power. I cannot accept that. And if that is God, well, I hate to say it, that's not a God that I want to get behind. But I know better. Anyways, questions, thoughts, if you guys are interested in this topic, please leave a comment below and put your thoughts, your insight. I would love to hear it. I would love to hear that. Anyways, let me get off of here. I know it's been a minute. I don't want to go on for too long. Perhaps I'll make a second podcast. I don't know. If I have enough content or information, then so be it. Anyways, take care, everybody. Get out every now and then. Be creative. Take care of yourself. And I will see you in the next. Cheers, everybody. You guys thought I was done. I was done. But then I woke up and I decided, I thought about something else. I thought about something that I had talked with my cousin with a long time ago, years ago. Not like super long ago, but like years ago. And so when I was taking like one of my English classes, I would call it. It was actually a literature class. It wasn't an English class. It was a literature class. So back in university, college, I took quite a few literature classes, and one of them actually went over the Torah and some. So there was a Torah. We went over Greek literature, like biblical literature. There was a few others, but anyways, the point is that going over like the biblical literature, and in this case, it was referring to the Torah, which is the Jewish religious text, right? So we went over that, and it was then that I realized that the beginning of the Bible, not so much Genesis, but like a little bit. Well, it was Genesis because that's like Noah's Ark and everything, right? The beginning of the Bible of the Jewish / Christian Bible really only refers to one group of people. What group of people do you think I'm referring to? Well, it's not obvious. It's not very obvious if you don't pay attention, but because it took me years. It took me many years to realize that the group of people they're talking about are Jewish. Even like the story of Noah's Ark, it's like a bloodline of people in that are Jewish. And so I was just like, wow, my mind was blown. I had an epiphany. I was like, so the Bible doesn't really talk about other people. It refers to other people as something, you know, like, oh, well, they're heathens or whatever. They're not part of our faith. And it dawned on me that why is it that even in the Jewish religion that they don't refer to Jesus Christ as anything or anyone significant? Why did it take Christianity and other religion that came afterwards
to be like, well, Jesus Christ was somebody that we should be thankful for. Why is that? Why is it so why is there a difference between? But my real point is that, what does it have to do with me? You know, if I'm part of the other people in this group, the Bible is simply a story. There's a lot of stories. It's literally books. It's a story about a group of people from beginning to end. And this is how they saw it in their history. It may not be 100% accurate, but as far as history goes for Jewish people versus everybody else, that was their story. That's essentially a story. This is the reason why I was like, you know, in literature class, we were learning about allegories and different stories. And we even went over the Quran. Yes. We even went over the Quran. And we learned these different things in class. You would think that you'd learn these things as part of being a Christian, for example, going to church. You don't learn these things because you're cut off from these things. In fact, they don't really want you to learn about these things. In my opinion, it's a very closed-minded sort of thing. And that's the reason why people, basically, they don't go outside the bubble. Most people don't. Some people do. I'm an exception as well. I decided I want to venture outside. I want to learn something more. Ask the questions, the very hard questions that people think they have answers to, but they don't. The beginning of the Bible is essentially a story about a group of people that, in their history, that's their history. What about my history? What about my people's history? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's never, like, something that doesn't come up. Even if you study, like, Christianity, it's like, well, part of the Bible was part of the Torah. So where is the story of everyone else? You see what I'm saying? Like, it really like just blew my mind. So now when I think of like religion, it's like, it really is like, it's something you can accept. And most people accept it as like, well, this is what it is. But they don't really, a lot of people don't ask these questions. A lot of people don't ask, or they don't realize that this is really a story about a group of people and their history. Even if it's like the Egyptians have their own story, right? I mean, we never made a Bible out of it, but they have their own story. They have the story of Ra and all these different deities. Even beyond that, there's the Greeks. We even talked about Greek allegories and stuff like that. They have their own gods. They have their own beliefs. We never made a Bible out of it, but what if history was different? What if that was what we deemed to be the religion? Because it was us, the people. We deemed these things important. We said, this is our deity, this is our God, you will worship. That's what happened. It even goes back to the Roman Empire, where they deemed Christianity the official religion, and that was like the doctrine. And from there, that's why they call it Roman Catholicism, because that's essentially where Roman Catholicism started. Anyways, that's a different podcast for a different day, going in the history of Christianity and Judaism, as well as Islam and other religions. Maybe I'll start a series if I get the urge to study like different beliefs and stuff like that to their core, then perhaps I will do something in the future. But as of now, consider this as a bonus segment, and I will see you on the next. Cheers, everybody. Just some thoughts. Ask yourself these questions. No hate.